Amen. Powerful song, Carol. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. I'm a happy father. I have 5 beautiful children, 12 grandchildren. No great-grandchildren yet. Dina, what do you have? Great-great-grandchildren, some of you. I don't think that's fair. No, but happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You know what the world really needs right now? It needs men, fathers, who are walking, who's bringing their behavior in such a way because they want to please God. The real issue in our society, in our culture, always has been, all the way back, has always been accredited to the man. The patriarchal dispensation was the father rule age that was established. And there is no question about it that God looks upon each of us in our own particular individual lives. And as you and I as a man, as a father, as individuals, what you need to give to your children, to your wife, to your co-workers, to people who have come to know you, they need to see you as a man who is trying to walk in the footsteps of your Savior, trying to follow your Savior and your King, shaping your lives by His blessed example. And how happy and how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of our Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. We have been looking at the subject matter of sanctification, and that it is God's will that you and I be sanctified. In fact, it is very clearly stated that without sanctification, you or I, no one will see God. No one will see the Lord. It's very emphatic. It's very important. It is something that you are to be pursuing. But it's interesting in Hebrews 12:14 that the first two words that the Apostle Paul says is this: pursue peace. Pursue peace. Pursue peace and sanctification, without which you will not see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, gentlemen, they'll be called the children of God. We are to be pursuing peace. And we are to be pursuing, going after, if you will, walking after, desiring, wanting to be sanctified. As we saw last week, sanctification is a work of God. It is God who sanctified. He sanctified Jesus. He set Him apart for His own particular purpose, for Him to glorify the Father. Jesus said, I did not come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. You see, life is a walk. It's a matter of taking steps, walking through life. Walk refers to your behavior. It refers to your lifestyle. It refers to that aspect of how you are living your life. Are you living your life according to your will, to the will of someone else, or are you walking to please God? That's the question this morning. You see, it is God's will you be sanctified. And sanctification is this divine act of God which helps and sets you and I apart, if you will, from the world. Takes us out of darkness to light. Remember Paul's sermons. Out of darkness to light, you'll be taken from darkness to light. You will be set free from the domain of Satan to God. Sanctification then is being released out of the slavery and the domain of darkness, out of the domain of the prince of this world, and transferred by God into a kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. In that kingdom, there is and where we walk. Not in the world anymore, not in the course of this world, which is indeed under the power of the evil one. We are now walking in the light, as He is the light. We are to be walking in love as He is love. Life is a walk. It's an ongoing journey. It is not something that you or I, at the point of birth, you or I have in a process, we have started to walk. Remember how they worked and worked and worked to get you to walk. And then they told you to sit down. But the point of it is that life is a walk. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, Bible says, if you remember from last week's introduction, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside of the gate. So at the immediate point where God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to you, remember, he said you will not only preach from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to God, but you will preach forgiveness of sins. You will show them how to have their sins forgiven, how to be washed, how to be forgiven. And that, of course, only comes through God himself. If sanctification is the work of God, then God somewhere has to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your sin and therefore have them forgiven. It's the blood of Christ that sanctifies, right? All right? It's not your goodness, as Mark said this morning. In fact, all your goodness and righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Understand that? But also in Romans 15, 16, we find Paul saying and stating, so that the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So not only is the blood of Christ needed to our sanctification, the Holy Spirit is also a part of our sanctification. And if you listen at all, you understand that when Paul or Peter opened the door of the kingdom of God on Pentecost, that he actually opened and gave the keys for one to be taken out of Satan's domain into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, Peter, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And on Pentecost, Peter said, repent. Turn from your wicked ways back to God and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus, by his authority, for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that must be then that in baptism, God applies the blood to every sin that I've ever committed and washes them away. Is that why Ananias said to Saul, why you wait? Arise, be baptized, washing away your sins. Makes sense to me. But not only that, he said, and what? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, to your children, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call into the future. So, not only was my sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, they're initiated, then I also received from God the sanctifying power of a gift. And that gift was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That my body, at that point, became the temple of the living God. And that God came, take up his dwelling in me, and gave and came through the person of his Spirit. And that indeed is indeed what I believe Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Paul writes to Titus, and I believe he's talking about the same thing. Paul says it, however, this way. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done, not on the basis of our goodness or our righteousness, or our acts, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now let me say and share with you something, people, that you may not know. Leviticus 17:11 says, life is in the blood. You did not come spiritually alive and couldn't come spiritually alive because you were dead in your sins and your transgression. As far as God is concerned, you were dead. but in Christ Jesus, and because of His blood, God applied that blood, forgave you of your sin, and the blood of Christ generated within you a life-giving source that only by the power of the Spirit of God could you come alive in Christ. And it's the Spirit of God that raised you from the dead and gave you a new life in Christ. That's why Paul says in Romans 6 that we have died with Him. If we were planted in the likeness of His death, we have been raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Therefore, walk in the newness of life. I can't believe how many denominational preachers have missed it. It's clear in the Bible. What else could Titus be referring to but the washing of regeneration? Life is in the blood. God then spiritually brought life to you, and the Holy Spirit, which is raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit raised you out of that water to walk in a newness of life. You have become a new creature in Christ. That's what this book teaches. All right, I don't care what preachers out there say. That book says that you need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, to the church of God, to those who have been sanctified in Christ. I know I'm going over this, but brother, I believe we need to hear it over and over again. In fact, Harvard University says their students need to hear the same thing 10 times before it sinks in. And you've heard 10 times over through denominational preaching that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It's all over the place out there. You read any book you want to read. But it's interesting to me that how many times you read the Scriptures and those passages of Scripture could only refer to what God did while and in the process of putting you to death, burying you with His Son, raising you to a new life in Christ, washing away your sin, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit to make you alive together with Him so you could share that eternal inheritance. You can't read the Bible passage after passage. The only way that verses and those verses can refer is what God did in baptism. Baptism isn't what you do. Baptism is in faith in what God promised He would do if you obeyed that command. And it is a command, isn't it? Yeah, it is. In fact, my Bible tells me in Romans 6:3 and in Galatians 3:27 that when is baptized, they're baptized into Christ. Not baptized into the church that makes you a Baptist. That's what they teach. John was called the Baptist because he was baptizing. How many Baptists have baptized somebody? How can you be a Baptist if you're not baptizing someone? Get it? The church didn't start with John the Baptist. The church, the kingdom, began with Peter on Pentecost. The Old Testament was still in force until Jesus died. If you've been with me, you get that. A testator has to die before a new covenant can come into effect. That new covenant started on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, period. New covenant, brought into existence through the blood of Jesus. Now, are you listening? Say yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:21-27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ." You are Christ's body. Remember, the Bible calls the church the body of Christ, over which He is the head, over all things to the body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 through and 14 says, "By one sacrifice and by one offering, He has perfected," are you listening? "For all times, those who are sanctified." What? He has made us complete, perfect. I'm perfect. So are you, if you understand God's program of sanctification. Are you listening? It's important you get this. Because some of you are still straining at the bits trying to please God. You can't please God only by doing and walking in the way in which it pleases Him. And to please Him, as you've got to put yourself in a position where He can sanctify you. And then He does a perfect job in doing that. Now listen to me. You see, by one sacrifice, He's perfected for all times those who are sanctified. You see me standing up here in front of you? Huh? Say yes, come on. Is this my body? Where's my blood? If you want to contact my blood, where are you going to find it? It's in my body, right? Huh? And what is my blood doing inside of this body? What is its purpose? What is it doing? Its life is in the blood. It's not my blood generating life in my body. When something happens and there is, and my body is cut or something, what does the blood do? It immediately goes to the hurting part and begins to interact and heal and clot the blood and stop the bleeding, whatever, right? So if you want to have the blood of Christ and know that it is continuously cleansing you, where must you be? In the body. The body of Christ. How do you get into Christ? How do you get into the body? How and when does God add us to the body? You see, God grafts us into Christ, right? We're placed in the body. So if I'm in the body of Christ and that free, I have continuous access to the blood of Jesus, which is continuously cleansing His body from all pollution, contamination, from sin, keeping it pure before God. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 5, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Got it? You're getting a picture here. Take yes, yes or no? Do I need to make it clearer? Okay. So there's a continuous cleansing. That's exactly what 1 John 1:10 says. If you confess your sins to God, He is good, just, righteous, to cleanse you. It's a continuous. James Goodwin preached up to the Northmen one time, and he said that Greek word is like a windshield wiper. Constantly cleansing His body from anything. Immediately, Jesus' blood is applied to you when you sin. And we'll talk more about that next week. Okay? Because there is no sacrifice for willful, continuous sinning. Got it? There is forgiveness for those who do commit an act of sin, but who are not living and walking in it. Got it? Not only that, but the second means of God sanctifying us is in the work of the Holy Spirit, right? So here I am. You already said, my blood is in my body. Where's my spirit? Huh? Floating out, well, somewhere around here. What? Al, your spirit is in you, right? Huh? Well, where's the spirit of Christ? It's in His body. So if I want to have access, full access to the spirit of the living God, do I not need to be in the body of Christ? Yeah. Jesus said it's a mutual relationship. Jesus said if I abide in you and you abide in me, then we will have fellowship with a Father who is in heaven. So there's a mutual abiding. If you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Amen? And He is indeed called many times Christ's Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All of those are referred to in the context of your walking. I believe, and I'm fully convicted of this, that until you bring your will into harmony with what the Holy Spirit teaches in this book and begin to walk in truth, you will never be able to be set free from sin. Psalms, David said, remember what David said? Thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin. You see, how much do you really want to please God? Isn't that the question? I'm telling you, gentlemen, what your family needs, what your home needs, what this culture needs, what everyone needs out there is men who are striving and completely committed to pleasing God and doing His will. You look at what's going on in our country today, you will see the majority of what's happening is in the malehood of man and what's taking place. males are leaving their families. Single women out there over and over again. It's males who rape their own daughters. It's males who do this. Males who do that. Males who do this. Males who do that. Isn't that right? Huh? Look at it. Read it. You see, the Gentile world in Paul's day and all the way back saw nothing wrong with sexual immorality. They did not see anything wrong with it. They had no way or no evil conscience against it. They did all kinds of ungodly behavior as males. They did. They did. They did. And it's interesting enough, as I will share with you, that one of the reasons God gave me the Holy Spirit was to mortify and put to death the deeds of the flesh. And when Paul, remember last week, 1 Corinthians 6, first numbered the sins of the Corinthians before they were washed, it was, remember, immorality, homosexuality, the effeminate. Well, feminine is a man who behaves and acts and dresses like a woman, isn't it? Isn't it? When Paul numbers the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, how does it begin? The works of the flesh is immorality, fornication, adultery. The first things he focuses on is sexual immorality. And the issue today is how many men are being caught up on the internet and all kinds of books and reading and whatever, and are coming under the power and the domain of Satan in that arena of their lives. And Paul doesn't play and pull any punches when it comes to those forms and behavior of life. We are not to be walking in that lifestyle, gentlemen. We are to be walking to please God. Walking to please God. Walking to please God. In Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, then let us walk by the Spirit. Let us bring our will into harmony with the will of the Holy Spirit. My body is that aspect. That's why the Bible commands us, all of us, male and female, to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God filling this temple, so that it can mortify and put to death the desires of the flesh that are out there in the Gentile world. We're not to walk as the Gentiles walk in the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We are now a people who have been set apart by God, and we are walking to please Him. Please Him. Christ's Spirit dwells in you and me. It's there for a purpose, and we'll share that more in depth. It's a mutual relationship, God in you, Christ in you, abiding in Him, He abiding in you, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again. We're going to begin and read on a little bit in that book, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And let's again see that what Paul has us to see here, and that's very important. I'm going to begin at verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15. See, evidently, sometimes everybody, even in Paul's day, was ignorant of something. Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? Have you forgotten? Didn't you understand this? Was there a need for me to refresh your mind about what you were taught? When I was with you, this is what I instructed you. This is what I taught. And this is what he begins with. Do you not know that your bodies are what? Members of Christ. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. You are married to Christ. And you are to be faithful to Him. He's your groom. We're the bride. And we wear His name. And we're to be faithful to Him. Completely. Okay? Are you listening? Put the text up, if you will, please. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you. The request is a begging terminology. He said, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you, people. He's pleading with you that we would, as we are in the Lord, a part of His body, that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you are doing, okay, do what? Excel more. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Don't be content. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Notice what he says. For you know what commandments we gave to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't mix words. What I'm saying to you is a word of authority. You better listen to what I am going to be telling you because I'm speaking by the authority of the Lord. Sometimes Paul said, this is my opinion, whatever, but he makes it clear here. I am not talking about off the top of my head. I'm talking through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? But you know that. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you do what? That you abstain from sexual immorality. Brother, that is murdering and destroying America. It's destroying our homes. It's destroying it. And most of the people who are involved in this lifestyle, in this pattern of walk, are the males of our culture. Okay? Not that females don't have the same issue. Let's go on. That each of you know how to do what? To possess his own vessel, his own body, in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentile who do not know God. I shared in Sunday school class, so I did some background on this. You know that when Jesus comes, he's going to take judgment on those who do not know God and who have not obeyed the gospel, and they're going to be separated? Do not know God. The new do not know God is the fact that they've made a choice to not know him. Okay? It's a choice that people are making out there. Why? Because God has revealed himself to all people in the inner man through his creation. There is no excuse for anybody when they stand before God for not knowing God, the God who created us, in whom we move and have our being. We are his offspring. We are his people. We're children by creation. We're his children by birth, spiritual birth. So he says that we need to get this body and get it under and control it. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I beat my body into subjection. Maybe that's what some of us need to make sure that we're doing. Keeping our brain, our mind set on things that are spiritual, beating our bodies into subjection. Knowing how to control the vessel, your body that God has given you. And that we don't live like, isn't it amazing? The passion and the lust that's going on out there in the Gentile world. And how every program, every movie, everything today, somewhere is propagating immorality. The Gentiles did not think it was wrong to sleep with others before they got married. With many others, if you please. What are we doing today? Living together before marriage. Why? Well, to see if we're compatible. I mean, they come up with all kinds of reasonings why they can commit fornication and see nothing wrong with it today in our culture. Okay? I want you to understand, they who practice these things will not go into heaven. Me neither, none of us, none. No one. Okay? Because the Lord has avenged, go on back into the passion, that no man transgress and defraud. Defraud is to take somebody else's wife that doesn't belong to you. That's defrauding your brother, committing adultery with somebody else's wife, and so on. And God is a revenger. He solemnly has warned us. God has called us not for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but who are they rejecting? God. 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 You see, God's will is for you to be sanctified. And God has made it possible, completely possible, for that to take place in each one of our lives, male and female, through the blood of his Son, that continuously cleanses us from sin, through the power of the inner spirit that he gave us at our birth, that we're to allow to take over and control in our individual lives. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. Power, according to 2 Peter, that you could live a godly life. Godlike life. Okay? I'm saying to you and me this morning, we're living in a godless world today. And we're seeing it more in one area of life than any other area, and that's in sexual immorality. It's all around us. And it's so easy to get trapped into it. You know that, don't you? Let me remind you, Jesus said that if a man looks upon a woman and he lusts after her, he's already committed adultery. Where? In his heart. I pray to God that as men in this congregation, as fathers, that you will commit yourself with me. Let's walk to please God. Let's set a godly example for our children, for our grandchildren, for those who know us, that we are committed for one purpose only, and that is to please our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be His name. No one else. I praise you, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Your name. Amen. God bless you, men. God bless you, ladies. Thank you, Melon, for your beautiful card. She gave me a great card this morning. I got two from my daughters already. And I got Father's Day greetings from two of my sons yesterday. And one of my daughters is meeting us for lunch, as far as I know. I tell you, I am blessed to be a father. I text my daughters and said, "You are what makes me so happy that I am a father." Seriously. I really am. And then to have the grandchildren I have, you know whose eyes are on me right now? More so than anybody? My grandchildren. They're watching every word, every action, everything that I do as a man. I want them to see Christ living in me. I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. I want to be a man of integrity that they can look up to. And hopefully someday want to follow my example. Amen. Oh, I love you guys. I really do. I thank you for your love for the Word and the love for the one who gave it to us. And we have a Father in heaven who loves us more than we'll ever know, probably. He's merciful and kind, forgiving, gracious, and who by the grace of Him will save us someday. We got by grace are you saved. Amen. You're not going to earn it, but brother, you sure can pursue it. We can pursue it. It's an ongoing process, going on to perfection, right? Maturity. I haven't reached it yet, Paul said, but this one thing I do, what did he say? I forget what's behind, and I press on to the high calling of God. I trust you're not satisfied with who you are, but I trust in your heart there's a beating desire to walk to please God. Let's stand together.